The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good evening, everyone. This is End Time Headlines, and we want to give you just a moment to hop on here. It is Monday, June 15th, and it is approximately 6:30 p.m. Eastern. We are live here on Facebook, and again, we're giving everybody just a moment. Hopefully, we'll get a lot of people on here tonight live. I know there's some weird, a lot of phone outages. I don't know what's, I got a couple people messaged me about this. Apparently, there's some large outages going on with different phone companies. So hopefully, everybody that can join us will hop on here live tonight via by Facebook. But we do want to officially welcome all of our podcasters. We want to welcome our YouTube audience. And of course, our Facebook audience as well. Again, if this is your first time joining us, under the comment section below, either on YouTube or Facebook, let us know where you guys are joining us from so we can recognize that and acknowledge that. And we'll get to know you guys a little bit better through your profile, your name, your pictures and stuff that you, your profile pictures and stuff. We become acquainted with seeing familiar faces week after week. So again, we want to officially welcome you to the broadcast. I am Ricky Scaparro, the founder, the pastor, the voice of End Time Headlines. As you can see behind me, the desk is empty, or the desk, that, well, the desk is empty too, but the bookshelf is empty. What does that mean? It means that if you, most of you guys who know, this is a little update before we get into the message. We are transitioning from Indiana to Georgia. We did sell our house. I do want to thank everybody who has been joining with us in agreement to that we would sell our house. Not only did we sell our house, guys, but we sold it on the eighth day, which eight is the number of completion. I thought that was really cool, but it was for a full asking price. So the Lord is good. So we're right on schedule. 1 week from today. So next Monday, we'll be on the road. We'll be traveling to our, what I call our final destination, at least on this side of heaven. And we will put our stakes down in there in Georgia. So we're excited about that. And I'll explain what that means for our ministry a little bit later in the end of this broadcast. But I want to be respectful of your time. You guys are jumping on here tonight. We want to get right into this message. I want to talk about two things that Jesus commanded us to do who desire to follow after him. Two things that Jesus commanded us to do if we desire to follow after him. I blogged a little bit about this. We posted this on our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, so you can see this in written form. But of course, I always encourage, even if you read the article today, come back, listen to the broadcast, because we're going to add a lot of things in dialogue that we didn't put in, because we can't put all that into written form. It would be way too long. So we're going to spend about 30 minutes, and I want to elaborate a little bit on this. So Matthew 16:24-25. And again, I don't have the scripture to pull up here, guys, because I am pressed for time. If anybody's ever moved in their life, you understand what I mean. There's so much stuff that can get done. So we're doing what we can, and that's why we have less broadcasts over the last 2 weeks too, as well, because we're in that transition of moving. Once we get down there and get everything set up, then we will be right back on our normal routine. So Matthew 16:24-25, I want to read this. And then Jesus said unto his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. Somebody say, deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Now, I want to read this same scripture, but it's a little bit different, coming from Luke 9:23. And I've got a Bible here in front of me, and I'm going to read that. Luke 9:23. Again, it's the same passage, but from a different gospel writer, and he gives you a little bit different perspective. Luke 9:23. And then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Somebody say daily. This is important. So obviously, the two things that Jesus commanded every individual who would desire to come after him, who would desire to follow the Lord, he said his commandment was to first deny yourself and secondly, to take up your cross daily. Now, what does that mean? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So most people, they read this passage and they'll skim or skip right over two crucial commandments that Jesus made in reference to following him. And I want to point that out tonight. This is in direct reference to following the Lord. And now this is alien to us in today's culture of Christianity. We emphasize the notion of just putting your faith and trust in him. This is what you hear from most pulpits in America today. Just put your faith in the Lord. Just put your trust in Jesus. Just follow Jesus. Just walk with the Lord. You're on a journey. Everybody's on a journey and we're walking with the Lord. But they never emphasize, they never teach on, they never touch on the two commands that Jesus actually commanded us, which again is to deny yourself and to take up your cross daily. So what does this really mean and why is this important to understand how crucial this is? I believe there's a reason why the Lord highlighted these two main points in conjunction with directly following after him. So let's break this down. Number one, he says that we must first deny ourselves. What does this mean? Why does he emphasize self-denial? I believe this teaching has, for the most part, fallen by the wayside again in the modern church today. How many sermons do you hear about on a daily basis or a weekly basis about self-denial, about humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, about putting yourself second, about becoming a servant to all, about putting yourself on the back burner, about not letting yourself get the accolades, not letting yourself get the spotlight, not letting your platform be exalted, not letting your name be exalted. Remember, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. But today we've got this flipped. Today we want our name exalted. We want to lift our platform up. We want to have our ministry lifted up so that we can draw all men into ourselves. But that's not what Jesus said. Most churches today will ask you to simply raise your hand. This is the altar call in today's churches. It's not come forward and give your life to the Lord, knowing that it means to deny yourself and take up your cross and die with him. And we'll explain a little bit more about that when we get into Romans chapter 6 in a second. But today we don't even give, you'd be thankful or blessed to even be in a church today that gives an altar call, because a lot of churches don't do this anymore. Instead, bow your heads with me, close your eyes. And if you would, if it doesn't make you uncomfortable, lift your hand and repeat this prayer after me, and we will welcome you to the family of God without ever emphasizing the importance of submitting ourselves to God through a process called sanctification. And that means to set yourself apart for the work of God. And that is what self-denial is. Come on, somebody. Here's my point I'm trying to make. When we came to God, I don't know about you, but when I came to God, I knew when I fell on that, first of all, there was an altar call and I ran to it. I didn't walk up there. I ran up to the altar call, fell upon the altar, wept. My heart was broken. I had a contrite spirit. I was pouring out my soul, pouring out my spirit to the Lord. I felt the precious Holy Spirit come upon me and come in me when I repented of my sins. And now when I say repented of my sins, I didn't confess the ABCs of Jesus Christ. Admit, believe, and confess. I didn't do all that. My confession was such a heartfelt confession of self-denial and repentance that I could hardly utter words to articulate to pray. And said that there was a deep groaning and deep yearning that came out from the deepest part of my heart, because I knew I was a wretched sinner. I knew that I was a sinner in needing of his grace. I knew that I was lost. I knew that if I had died right then, I would have died in my sins and I would have gone to a place called hell. So I was crying out to the Lord. And that night he saved me. He washed me. He filled me with he sealed me with the Holy Spirit of promise. But it didn't take long, guys. I didn't have to get up off that altar and have a 2-hour sermon. I didn't have to go through a 6-week course to understand that it was going to cost me something. I knew deep on the inside of me that when I came up off the altar that night on June 2nd of 2000, 20 years ago, that this walk with God was going to cost me everything. And it wasn't going to be a one-time ordeal, but it was going to be a process of setting myself apart, of sanctification or self-denial. If we desire to follow after the Lord, we must understand that it is going to require us to no longer serve our former lust, but we are now servants of Christ, meaning we are going to have to lay down things in our lives through self-denial. And guys, I can prove just by the fruit that's being produced in most churches today that they're not preaching this, they're not teaching this, and they're not living by this, because most Christians that we meet today will say they're a Christian. They'll know how to talk lingo of Christianity. They'll have a form of godliness, but they will not exhibit any fruits. They're living the same lifestyle as anybody else that doesn't know the Lord. They still talk the same. They still walk the same. They still act the same. They're still hanging around the same people. They're still doing the same things that they did before they ever even stepped their foot in the church building, or to a meeting or a revival meeting or whatever, or an encounter with the Lord. Now this wasn't the case 20, 30, 40 years ago when we heard of radical salvations, radical moves of God, radical revival services, radical awakenings and experiences where people came to these meetings and they got so wrecked in the Holy Spirit, so wrecked with God's power and his glory that the next day, when their associations of people got around them, whether it be friends, whether it be neighbors, whether it be family, whoever it was, co-workers, when they got around them, they didn't have to explain to them that something happened to them. It was evident to everybody around them. Their countenance changed, their conversation changed, their desires changed, their walk changed. Come on, somebody. Their associations changed. Their life got flipped upside down for the glory of God. Remember, I always remember that scripture in the New Testament where it said even the Pharisees understood and they knew and they recognized that Peter, James, and John, it says these men had been with Jesus because their speech besets them. In other words, we knew and understood that they had been with Jesus because these are not the same individuals that we once knew. Come on, somebody. So I believe the Apostle Paul went into a little bit more detail on this. Look at this. Romans 6:3. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Self-denial. In other words, it's not about you anymore. It's not about me anymore. John recognizes. John the Baptist Come on. He was baptizing people in the Jordan for the remission of their sins. And when Jesus showed up, not only did he point the people to the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, but even by John's own admission and his confession, he said that he must increase and I must decrease. Friends, I don't know about you, but I believe that is a testimony of self-denial. And John had that revelation. I'm telling you, friends, some of y'all don't know anything I'm talking about right now because you've never experienced what I'm talking about. When I talk about radical revival, you have no clue. When I talk about the glory of God, you have no clue what I'm talking about. When I talk about radical experiences and awakenings, you have no clue what I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you something. For that remnant of people that are listening to this podcast, watching this by YouTube, watching this by Facebook, if you've ever been in the true presence of the glory of God and been in his presence, I'm telling you, there is nothing that you can go back to that will be appeasing to you, that will be desiring to you, that you will want to stay in. Sure, you might backslide a little bit. You might let the fire go out a little bit. You might get a little bit cold every now and then. Your fire may fizzle out a little bit, and you may become a little bit lukewarm, and sometimes those little bit of desires may kind of creep back up in you, but it won't take long. The moment your feet start trying to go in the direction of back where you laid down your life for Jesus and you had that experience for him, it won't take long, my friend, until there'll be something on the inside of you that will rise up because you know deep down in the inside of you that you have tasted of the Lord and seen that he is good, and there is nothing that this world can offer that can give you the peace, give you the peace of mind, the power, the presence that only Jesus can, in a radical experience with him. This is why you always hear me emphasize and why I come into agreement with what the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament when he said, when you see an individual with a form of godliness, but they deny the power, Paul said, get away from them or run away from them, avoid them. Come on, I'm not looking for lukewarm, complacent, one foot in the world, one foot in God. Easy does it. I'm okay with a little dab will do. I'm not interested in that. Because if I get involved in that kind of Christianity, listen, it won't be long until I start falling away and I begin to lose my joy, lose my strength, lose my power, lose the anointing, and lose everything that God has entrusted me with. Romans 6, verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly, I said certainly, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. And he said, well, Brother Ricky, I had an experience with God, but I still have desires on the inside of me. Yes. You know why? Because you still have flesh. You have flesh and blood on you. As long as you remain in a flesh and blood suit, your skin, your body, this earthly suit, you will still have desires. You will still have impulses. You will still have those compulsions. But my friends, let's go back to what the gospel writer of Luke said. He said, if any man desires to come, Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and die daily. Somebody said die daily. That gets me to the next part of this message I want to talk about. And that is, Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you've got to, number one, you've got to deny yourself. It's not about you anymore. You're now a son and daughter of the Most High God. You were a slave to sin, but now you're a servant of the Most High. Everywhere your feet go, everywhere you tread upon, you think there's no accidents from the day you say yes to Him, the day you're born again, the day your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My Bible says your steps are ordered of the Lord. In the Hebrew, it means your steps are set up. That means your work has been set up. It means the neighborhood you've been put in is set up. It means the people that you have influence around has been set up. It means you may get up tomorrow morning and have 3 or 4 plans of the day. You may plan on going to work. You may be planning on going to the grocery. You may be planning on taking this route or that route or doing this or doing that or going out of town or whatever you're planning. But the Bible says this: the man makes preparations in his heart, but it's the Lord who leads his steps. In other words, you are a servant of the Most High, and He is preparing your path. He's setting up your path. He's preparing the way for you. Why? Because He wants you to be, because you are now an ambassador of Christ. So whether you like it or not, and trust me, can I get real for a moment? There's days that I have a bad day and I don't feel like being ambassador of Christ. I don't feel like being salt. I don't feel like being light today. Oh, you ain't hearing me today. I'm trying to get real with you today. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. If you just get real with me, there's days you don't feel like being salt. You don't want to be light. Sometimes everybody else loses their temper and you want to lose your temper, but the Holy Ghost won't let you lose your temper. Come on. Everybody else is cussing somebody out at the grocery line and you in your flesh want to cuss somebody out, but the Holy Ghost says, no, you're going to keep your mouth shut, because the word says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of the mouth, but that which is good to edification. Come on. You see people flipping people off in traffic because they cut you off. They almost hit your car. They put your kids in danger. And that old dead man that you once knew wants to rise up and flip them the bird. But the Holy Ghost quickly extinguishes that and says, don't you even think about it. And instead of opening your mouth and screaming through the windshield and saying 4-letter words, instead you'll be quick to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Come on, say, brother, I'm still working on it. I'm still working on it. Come on, I hear you. We're all still working on it. Listen, but this is where taking up our cross. What does it mean to take up your cross daily? Does that mean we have to go and get a physical actual cross to carry on our back? No, because Jesus already did that. He already took the cross. Now, that's not to say that there's not places in the world where Christians are literally being tortured, strung across stakes and strung across boards and even being crucified, because it is still happening. Go read the Fox's Book of Martyrs and read how the early apostles died. So Peter was hung upside down. He was crucified upside down. Some of them were filleted like a fish. Others were boiled in oil. Others were pierced through by a sword. There were some that was beheaded. I'm telling you, these men were martyred. They saw physical persecution like we in America have no understanding of. Our persecution is they removed my Facebook page. They took down my Twitter account. They're censoring me. They're shadow banning me on social media. That's our censorship. They're not giving me free speech. They're removing my rights. Nobody likes me at work. I'm not the favorite guy at the lunch table on break at lunch. Nobody wants to sit with me. That's our persecution. Not even comparable to our brothers and sisters in the Mideast and different places around the world. But the Apostle Paul stated, quote, I affirm, this was in the book of Galatians. He says, I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. Well, hold on, wait a minute. I thought the Apostle Paul was killed by the sword. I thought he was martyred. He was. Then how could he die daily? Guys, Paul, oh, come on, somebody. Paul didn't die the day that he was pierced through by a sword. Paul died on the road to Damascus when he said yes to Christ. That's when he died. Oh, come on. I feel the Holy Ghost messing with me. Listen, I didn't die. Whenever that day comes, if I'm not caught up with the Lord and I live to be a ripe old age and I'm believing God for it, but when my time comes, I didn't die then. I died June 2nd, 2000, when I said yes to Him and I put the cross before me and the world behind me. That's when I die. Come on. Who am I talking to tonight? Some of y'all die. You didn't die. You should have died by a drug overdose, but you didn't die of a drug overdose. You could have died in a car accident, but that wasn't your time. You should have died in your mother's womb when your mother contemplated on aborting you, but you didn't die then. You could have died by murder. You could have died by this. You could have died by suicide, but you didn't die then. But some of y'all who are born again, your death date, come on, somebody, your death certificate in heaven read the day that you said yes to Him and no to the world. The day that you were all, let me read it again. Don't you know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized unto His death? Hallelujah. If somebody don't get happy with me, I'm about to close this book and just start running around my basement. Come on, somebody. Paul said, I die daily, every day. Listen, it's interesting in the book of Romans, it says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, a living sacrifice. Did you know in the Old Testament, they put lambs and they put sheep and they put goats and they put rams on the altar? Those were living sacrifices on the altar. Did you know that when we come before Him, He says, I beseech you, therefore, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto Him. Guess what? This is a living sacrifice. You have flesh and blood. It's going to, listen, when we go to the altar and we got to die to Him daily, this old flesh is going to squirm. It's going to scream. It's going to yell. It's going to grumble. It's going to complain. It's going to murmur. It's going to yell. Come on, somebody. It's going to do everything it can to keep from getting into the place where it can be crucified. And you know where that place is where it can be crucified? It's in the direct presence of God. Oh, come on. That flesh can be living, and that flesh can be, it can be almost fully resurrected. And then you'll get in a Holy Ghost filled Bible. You'll get into the Bible. You begin to read the word. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will begin to crucify that thing. He'll begin to kill that flesh of yours. You'll get into a service where the Holy Ghost is moving. All of a sudden your heart will start beating out of your chest. Your hands will start sweating. You'll start weeping. What's happening? He's putting some more nails in you. He's crucifying you. He's killing a little bit more flesh off of you. I know this ain't popular preaching. I know this is not a motivational, feel-good, self-motivation message. I'm not trying to motivate you. I'm trying to get you into a place of self-examination, whether or not you're truly desiring to follow after Him. Because if we truly understood the cost of and counted the cost, I would venture to say that most people, a lot of people, wouldn't even bother to follow the Lord. But we've made it a fairy tale. We painted it such a pretty picture today in the church that everybody wants it. Look, even celebrities and Hollywood people want Jesus. But I guarantee you, they're not being taught what I'm teaching you today. They're being taught a lot, and I'm not saying all of them because I can't judge that, but I would venture to say a lot of these people are being taught another Jesus. Paul warned about that. He said he talks about another Jesus, another spirit, another doctrine. You can keep singing and glorifying Satan with your music and still be a Christian. This is another Jesus. You can still make movies that glorify Satan and still call yourself a Christian, another Jesus. Come on, watch this. I want to read this. Galatians 2:20. I'm sorry. I said Galatians 2:20. I already read that. Let me get here to Luke. Matthew 19. My notes were a little bit scrambled here. Matthew 19. And we're going to close this thing. Matthew 19. Then I'm going to pray for you guys, because I really believe we got some folks that are the picture of following after Jesus was not portrayed the way I'm portraying right now. And I believe I'm showing you the full gospel. And some of y'all, this is a hard pill to swallow, because you've sat in front of, and I hate to say this because I don't want to paint a broad brush, but you sat and listened to so much preaching on Christian television for the most part, and they're preaching another Jesus that I can't find in the scriptures. That what he requires of them is not what I find in here, and vice versa. So we got a problem here. Matthew 19, look at this. Matthew 19, 16 through 22. Matthew 19, 16 through 22. Let me show you a perfect example of this. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Come on, y'all know this story. But once I've laid this foundation, now we get into this, it's going to bring a whole nother understanding to this. So the Lord said unto him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God." Even Jesus said that, guys. No one is good but God. "But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Well, this guy said, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Well, this guy was definitely religious. Listen to what he says. The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth." Now, that sounds like a good church member. I mean, this guy, he's not murdered anybody. He's not committed adultery. Now, we don't know if he looked with the intent to lust, because before Jesus came along, to commit adultery meant you physically did the act. But then Jesus didn't lower the standard. He raised the standard. But again, by his own admission, he said, I haven't murdered. I haven't committed adultery. I've never stolen anything. Think about that, guys. From my youth, I've never stolen anything. How many could say that? I can't. You've never stolen a pen, a piece of paper, a piece of gum, something. Taking something that wasn't yours. Really? This guy said, I've done all this. I've not murdered. I've not committed adultery. I've never stolen. I've never bore false witness. I've honored my father and mother. And I've loved my neighbors myself. Guys, this man is, I would venture to say he is better than anybody listening to this broadcast by his own admission in that day, before the crucifixion, before the new covenant, under the blood of Jesus. And he says, "All these things I've kept from my youth." And then he asked the question, "What do I still lack?" And Jesus, he was thinking, guys, I'm going to tell you, he was thinking that Jesus was going to say, "You know what? You've got it all figured out. You've got all your dots. You've got every T crossed, I's dotted. You've got everything figured. You've done it all. You're good. Just follow after me, and you're going to be one of my disciples." No. Jesus looks at him and says, notice this too. I've got to point this out. Notice that the Lord went straight for the deepest part of this man's heart. See, this is what happens. When you get in the real presence of God, when you get into the glory of God, I can always gauge when a real move of God shows up. I don't care what anybody says. I will argue with you to the day the Lord comes back on this. I can show you in Scripture when the real glory of God showed up and a real move of God showed up, men began to weep. Men began to cry out. Read it in the book of Acts. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and began, the Holy Ghost fell. The Holy Ghost fell upon everybody in that upper room. He began he was being poured out. They were talking in tongues. The fire of God fell in that place. So how many believes there's a move of God coming? That was where Pentecost was birthed. That's where the church was birthed, on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. But read on. Peter stood up and he began to preach. There was such a presence and conviction of God that blanketed that place. That, read it in the book of Acts. Men began to cry out, "What must we do? What must we do?" And Peter said, "Repent." And he called them to repentance. When was the last time you was in a home group cell meeting? A church service, a small group, just a group of people at your house getting together in the where there are two more gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. When was the last time you got together and you began to seek the Lord and the presence of God fell in that place where people in your group, people in your church, people in your gathering began to repent, truly cry out in repentance and begin to confess sins? You say, "Where are you going with this, preacher?" Here's what I'm trying to tell you. This man, by all definitions of what we call religious, had it all squared away. If he was going to make it into the kingdom by works alone, this man would have been more than qualified. But when he got into the presence of the Son of Man, come on, somebody, when he got into the presence of the Son of God, he didn't compliment. Jesus commended him, but then he went straight for the thing that he wanted him to lay down. You can find this in the book of Revelation. There are seven churches of Asia. Most of them churches, listen, Jesus came in and commended all of them, and most of them, not only did he commend them, but then he began to rebuke them and correct them. You have this going for you, but repent of this. Turn back to your first love. You've allowed the fire to go out. You are practicing you're part of the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. You have that Jezebel in your congregation, which is committing adultery with the prophets and fornication with the prophets. So again, he commended, but then he rebuked. Oh, come on, somebody. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth as a father his own son in whom he loves. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Whew. So he looks at him and says, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Notice what his ticket was to following the Lord. His own admission to Jesus wasn't that he was keeping all this. It was the secret thing. It was the thing that wasn't engraved on stone. Guys, oh, come on. You don't need somebody to engrave your sin on a tablet to tell you that you're wrong. Oh, I can show you the New Testament where it says that God will no longer operate through these tablets of stone, but he is going to operate through these tablets of your heart. He's writing the commandments on your heart so that no one is with excuse. No one is without excuse. We've all sinned before him. And we know this. All humanity knows this. Everybody's searching. I don't care. Even atheists are looking. They may tell you there's no God, but they're looking for him. Agnostics, they've got the wrong phone number, but they're looking. God, your Bible says that God has put eternity in men's hearts. This is what I'm trying to tell you. Every time, friends, the Lord wants to get in that secret place, not you get in your secret place. He does want that. But when you get in your secret place, that's when you allow him to get in your secret place. You know what I mean by that? Your secret place is that compartment in your heart. It's that sin that you don't want anybody to know about. It's a sin that you don't want anybody to touch. It's a thing you don't want to give up. It's a thing you don't want to lay down. It's a thing you don't want crucified. It's a thing you don't want to take to Calvary. Lord, you can have this. Lord, I'm a tither. God, I show up to church. I'm committed. I'm a good bishop. I'm a good deacon. I'm a good servant. I've given to the poor. I've given to the needy. I don't cuss. I don't do this. But Lord, you don't take that. Whatever you do, don't take that one thing. What is that one thing? You tell me, what is that one thing tonight? He tells him, listen, he says, if you will sell what you have and give to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven. You come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Thus, His own indictment against him was that he had the love of money. Now we quote scripture out of context all the time. Well, you know, the Bible says money is the root of all evil. No, it says the love of money is the root of all evil. Listen, if the Lord was against possessions and prosperity, then Abraham wouldn't have been a father of faith. Huh? Solomon wouldn't have been as wealthy as he was. Oh, you ain't saying nothing now. Job wouldn't have been the wealthiest man in all the East. And God blessed him double for his trouble through all the things that he went through. God blessed him more in the end than he did in the beginning. If God was against him being blessed, you tell me why he blessed him like that. Come on. I'm flipping over some golden calves tonight, whether you want to hear it or not. And then Jesus said to his disciples, all this is in context. And surely I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished. You think? Think about it. Wouldn't you be astonished? Again, remember, this guy kept all these commandments since he was a child. And they said, who can be saved? Who in the world can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I want to read the rest of this because I want to go back up here and close with this. Matthew 16:24, and I'm still going to go over here to Matthew 19, but I want to jump back over to Matthew 16:24-25. Listen to this. I'm going to read this again. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. Look, listen to that. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now let me read the rest of this. Verse 27, Matthew 19:27. This is dovetails right with it. Remember the context of what we're talking about tonight. And then Peter answered and said to him, look, Lord, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? What a question, huh? Listen what Jesus said. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that in the regeneration, when a Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me, and we just talked to you about what following the Lord means, will also sit on 12 thrones. Now, obviously, this is directed straight to the apostles. We're not going to sit on 12 thrones. This is the 12 apostles. But this next part applies to all of us. And verse 29, and everyone, say somebody say, that's me too. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit it. And I'm sorry, will receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. Now, one of the other gospel writers says, they will receive a hundredfold in this lifetime and the lifetime to come. So, oh my Lord, thank you, Holy Ghost. See, look, this is so crazy. Because I didn't, this is why, look, some of y'all left the broadcast because you're like, well, he already wrote a blog about this. I don't want to hear this. Listen, if you read the article today, probably 75% of everything I just talked about tonight wasn't even in that article. That's why I'm telling you, you got to stick around. Listen, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost pulls stuff out that you need to hear. And here's the hilarious part. The Lord was preaching to me. I was preaching to myself. The Lord used me to minister to myself and to you tonight. So we're all in this thing together. So I want to get, oh, come on, hallelujah. I want to share with you what I hear the Holy Spirit saying to me. And if the shoe fits, wear it. Again, I'm going to say it again. If the shoe fits, wear it. I'm going to tell you what he's telling me. And this is what I heard him saying when I was preaching. I'm telling you guys, 10 minutes ago, I heard the Holy Spirit in me saying this. What are you holding on to that you're not willing to let go, that you're afraid of losing, that I can't restore and replace a hundredfold in this lifetime and the lifetime to come? Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, God is speaking. I know when God's speaking to me, I can feel him on me. And I'm telling you, he's talking to somebody through the lens of this camera. He's talking through somebody to the microphone, to this podcast. There's somebody that's listening and watching or both tonight. You're hanging out with people that you know you shouldn't be a part of. You've got people that the Lord has spoke to you and he's told you to be not yoked with unbelievers. You've got things in your life that God has told you to lay down, let go, crucify it, bring it to Calvary, put it at the foot of Jesus, let it go. But you want to keep on hanging on to it, hanging on it, and we make excuses. I said we. Come on, I'm preaching to me too. But we make excuses to hold on to this little thing. Well, Lord, so-and-so's doing it. Well, other Christians are doing it. But you show me in the Bible where the Lord's going to judge us based upon other Christians, and I'll show you where the word of the Lord says he's not going to judge you upon what they do, but he's going to be judging you based on what the word says. Come on, I'm preaching to myself too tonight. So let's just seek the Lord together tonight. I'm going to lead us into prayer. And I may be talking to one person tonight, but it was all worth it. And that one person may be to me. I may be the one person tonight that the Lord's dealing with tonight, but I don't think I am. Who is the rich young ruler that you are quick to point your finger and say, I am a faithful tither. I'm a faithful giver. I show up to church every time the doors are open. I don't speak those four-letter words. I don't watch those movies. I don't have a TV in my home. I don't wear makeup. I don't wear this. I don't do this. Okay, that's good. And God's not, I don't think God's against makeup. I don't think God's against dry. I'm trying to hit home. There's whole denominations that teach against that stuff. And I don't believe dresses, pants, makeup, a style of hair. I don't believe that stuff's going to send you to hell. But Jesus said there can be a root of bitterness on the inside of you that can spring up and defile your whole body. Some of y'all's bitter at people. Some of y'all's mad at people in your family, in your friends, your coworkers, whatever the case may be. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going right deep into the secret place of your heart tonight. And he's saying, you really want to follow me? It's time to deny yourself. Put yourself on the back burner. Some of y'all are saying, listen, some of y'all's got this attitude. Lord, I'll follow you, but I want to do what I want to do. It don't work like that. I'm sorry, but it doesn't work like that. And trust me, I've learned the hard way. It don't work like that. I'm not saying God won't give you the desires of your heart, because he will. But I'm telling you, when you get into the Word of God, he's going to start giving you his desires that will become your desires. And he's going to direct your life in the direction of his Word. So let's pray right now. Father, thank you for this Word tonight. Thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. I thank you that your Word is going forth. It is resounding. Lord, I repent tonight. And I know others are repenting tonight. Lord, forgive us where we have tried to make excuses, where we have fallen short, where we have tried to compromise, where we've tried to play both sides of the fence. Maybe we've been lukewarm. Maybe we're not right with the Lord. Maybe we're not in that place where we should be. Maybe our fire has been gone out, and it's been going out for some time now. And we've been crying out to you, and we can't figure out why that fire is being quenched, why that fire is burning out. And it's possible that it's because we've not denied ourselves, and we are not taking up our cross daily. Not weekly. We can't do it once a week. It has to be a daily walk. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, for this is holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And Lord, I'm asking tonight that you would dig deep into the heart of men and women and even children that are listening to this. And Lord, if there be anything in our hearts, Lord, I know you're shining the Holy Spirit on that thing right now. And Lord, I'm praying that we would lay that thing down at your feet and that we would not pick it back up. We would lay it at the foot of Calvary, lay it at the foot of the cross, kill it and lay it to be dead and walk away. Lord, I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said. He said, it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. In the flesh, in the life that I now live in the flesh, is through the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So, Lord, I thank you tonight for this Word. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your conviction. And I ask that your Word would not return void, but it would go forth and it would establish that which is sent forth to do and prosper in that which is sent forth to do. And I thank you for every man, woman, and child under the sound of my voice tonight that has been touched and impacted by this Word. And I pray, Lord, that you would get all the glory out of this thing. That when this is all said and done, you would be glorified. You would be magnified. That heaven would rejoice. Angels would rejoice. The cloud of witnesses would rejoice at the decisions that are made in this message tonight. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Guys, I want to I'm not going to pull that up tonight. So we're just going to old school it tonight. Endtimeheadlines.org. EndTimeHeadlines.com. Most of you guys know this anyway, so I don't really. Basically, we do this a lot for the new people, but if you're watching, if you're new to this, EndTimeHeadlines.org, EndTimeHeadlines.com. You guys on YouTube, you'll see all this. If you'd like to subscribe to us, that's going to be our main website. We ask you to go subscribe, and you'll get our daily digest in your email. Or better yet, if you go to the, if you have an Android phone or an Apple phone, go into the App Store. The Apple App Store, go into the Android Play Store and download our free app today. Just go in and type in End Time Headlines, END Time, not Times. Everybody, for some reason, people put an S. There's no S. End Time Headlines. Type it in. You're going to see it come up. Look for our official ETH logo. Download that app right there in your hand. You're going to have everything you need right there to follow our ministry. You're going to get our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, our blogs. You're going to get our podcasts, our YouTube messages, and you're going to see there at the bottom, all the way down to the right, you're going to see a place where it says donate. If you've been blessed by this message, blessed by this ministry on a weekly basis, maybe for a long time now, the Lord has been putting on your heart to maybe support this ministry, maybe become a monthly partner to help us to remain strong. Guys, again, we don't charge anything for any messages. Every message is free on YouTube, free on podcasts, free on Facebook. There's no merchandise, no CDs, no DVDs, no t-shirts, none of that. Our digest is free. Our app is free. Everything is free. We feed the sheep, and we just believe that the Lord is raising up people that have been blessed and impacted by our ministry that's going to sow back into our ministry as an act of gratitude. And this is what you found in the life of Jesus when you studied out. And I don't have time. Maybe I'll do a whole message on that, and I can show you women in whom Jesus cast devils out of and he delivered. They became some of his strongest backbone and strongest supporters of his ministry. And they ministered to him out of their resources and out of their substance. There's a Greek word, their substance. And I may do a message on it. It's been a long time. We may have to pull that out and talk about that. But nevertheless, again, if that's you and you want to maybe a one-time gift or become a monthly partner, you can do that again by going to our app, clicking on the donate button, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You can go there, click on the place where it says donate or support the ministry, and you're going to see an electronic place you can give. You can give electronically, or you can give by check or money order. Now, having said that, I do got to make this announcement, and this will go on podcast, it's going on YouTube, it's going on Facebook, but we're going to put this in written form on Facebook as well, and probably on our website. Obviously, at the beginning of this broadcast, we told you the reason why, if you're joining us late here and you didn't catch the beginning of this, the bookshelf is empty because we have sold our home. For you guys who know this, my family and I and our ministry, because where we go, obviously the ministry goes with us. We are in the process of a transition from Indiana, and we're going south to Georgia. This is going to be our final move. This is and my wife and I were talking about this the other day, and we said, we've been married for 20, it'll be 20 years this November. Praise God, 20 years this November. And in 20 years, I advise nobody to do this because it'll wear you out. And trust me, in 20 years we've been married, this will be our 12th move in 20 years. And you say, why? Simple answer, we just want to go where the wind of God's blowing. I'm not saying he's not blowing in Indiana. I'm not saying that God's moving in Indiana. But I'm going to tell you, I try to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I try to be sensitive to my needs and my family and what's best for our family. And when I feel the Lord moving us in a direction in which we're supposed to go, then I do that. And he's always confirmed it. And like I said, I believe many of you guys have followed our journey for years. You've heard me talk about these phenomenal supernatural things that have happened. For example, this, when we moved from Cleveland, Tennessee to back here, we put our house up for sale during Passover. And I prayed and said, God, and we felt that the Lord our time had been done there. We felt it was time to move back here so that my wife could finish her 4 years of school for her practitioners. And this was the only place that was doing that would pay for that. And so we really felt strong to do that. So, and God will do that sometimes in your life. And maybe we'll do a whole message on that sometimes too. But we put our house up for sale, and it was during Passover. And we said, Lord, if it's time, and we was kind of testing the waters, and we said, Lord, we're going to put our house up for sale. And we prayed that if this is the timing, and we had a lot, and I could pull out my journal and tell you a bunch of confirmations on this. But we said, Lord, let this home sell before the end of Passover, the season of Passover. And it was 7 days. On the third day, I think it was the second. It was the second or third day. We had two full offers on our home when we moved from Cleveland, Tennessee to here to Indiana. And needless to say, we were in and out, boom, got here. We've been here 4 years. And about 2 years ago, we knew in our hearts that we were not going to stay in Indiana. We just knew it. This is not going to be our final destination. It's not going to be our final place that we were going to stay. But we knew that we had to be patient. And it was hard, guys, especially I'm not a patient person by nature. And when I know the Lord is, when I know something's drying up and God's opening something, I want to get my flesh and go after it. But I have learned if you get in your flesh and you do that without waiting on the will of the Lord and waiting on the time of the Lord, you will get yourself in a lot of trouble. So we waited. We had to wait until she finished her school. She was in a contract. We had a, there was debts that had to be paid. There was all kinds of things. There was a whole list of things that we prayed about. Boom, 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 and everything. All these things have been settled. They came to fruition. And now the time, and it led us up to probably about a month ago, we felt in our heart, it's time. It's time to go south. It's time to go Georgia. It's time to go to Georgia, and this is going to be our 12th. Listen, 12 is a very powerful number in the Bible. There was 12 apostles. There was 12. There's 12 gates. It talks about these 12 gates of heaven. There's the number of 12 is a governmental number. So this is our 12th move. I knew that was powerful, and the fact that it's in. And I'm not trying to get some people get, you know, they get offended at me saying this, but listen, this is my walk with God. This is not yours. So you just bear with me a little bit on my folly, if you would. But I knew in the year 2020, as crazy as 2020 is, everything's falling apart around us in the world. But I knew 2020, listen, when you hear 2020, what do you think of? Perfect vision. When you go to a doctor and they say you have 20/20 vision, it means you don't need glasses, you don't need bifocals, you don't need contact lenses. Come on, somebody say hallelujah right there. So I knew 2020. I told my wife last year when 2020 comes, something's going to happen. I believe that's the year that is going to be our transition, and we're because that was the year that our contract ended. That was the year she finished school. That was the, everything was coming to a climax there. Little did I know, while all that was happening in our personal life, everything outside in the world is falling apart. But you know what? You know what's exciting about that, guys? We don't operate on the course of this world. We operate on the system and the kingdom of God. Come on. The Bible says Isaac in the Old Testament, Isaac sowed during a famine and reaped a hundredfold. Oh, you didn't hear me. I want to say it again for the people in the back row. Isaac sowed during a famine. Who gives during a famine? But he gave during a famine and he reaped a hundredfold in a famine. Why? Because he understood that we operate on the kingdom, not the White House, not the stock market, not the Federal Reserve, not your job, not your money. That is not our source. Our source is Jehovah Jireh. And when he says go, you go. When he says give, you give. When he says stay, you stay. So, needless to say, we put our house up for sale and we did it by owner, which we had, listen, one of my good friends is a realtor. I had a, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we put it up by owner. In which realtors will say, oh, don't do that. Even Dave Ramsey, who's someone I greatly respect as far as finances and stuff, he knows what he's talking about. He even advises don't do a sale by owner. So all natural wisdom, I guess you could say, says don't do this. But we knew that if we can save, and I don't want to get into the details of this, but if we can save 2 to 3%, that's huge. That's like $10,000. Give or take or whatever, based upon the value of your home or whatever, whatnot. And that's huge. That's, I mean, how many would like to have $10,000 in your pocket if you can? Sure. So we had people say, now's the time, the market's at an all-time, our mortgage rates are all-time low. It's a buyer's market. So we were listening. We had our ear to the ground. We were listening. And we knew it was time. We put our house up for sale by owner. We had some showings. We had this. We had an offer come in. We got excited only for them to drop the offer at the last minute and turn away. Well, that let the air out of the balloon. It brought discouragement upon us. So then, watch this. On the seventh day, I contacted a good friend of mine who's a realtor, and I said, I want your advice. Give it to me. Shoot it to me straight. And of course, they're going to be biased, and they tell me you need to go with the realtor. If you've got to eat the money, you got to eat the money, but you'll sell the house, blah, blah, blah. So we sought out more wisdom. We prayed about it. We didn't have peace about going with the realtor. And hallelujah, on the eighth day, somebody say the eighth day. By the way, the number eight is new beginnings. New beginnings. The number eight is new beginnings. On the eighth day, we got a full price offer with every contingency that we wanted, no realtor, and we were able to save the money. And now we get to stick to our timeline, which is again next Monday. I'm telling you, when God is on the move, friends, you get into that stream. You move when he says move, and you will watch supernatural things go. Now, listen, there's still other things that we're believing God for. Some things I can't mention to you because some things God will speak to you, and you can only say in the secret place, and the God who sees in the secret place and hears in the secret place will reward you openly. Come on, y'all have heard me preach about that. But there's other things I want you to come into agreement with. Matthew 18, 19, if any two shall agree in touching any one thing, it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. We're still believing for not a job for my wife, because she's a new graduate as a practitioner, going to a whole new state. Come on, uncharted waters. There's a lot. I couldn't imagine how nervous she is. And I know if any of y'all has done that, you can know what that means. It's not just a job, but we're believing for the job. In other words, the desires of her heart, the position that she's been asking for, the environment she's been asking for, the skills that she can acquire, that she can learn, that's what we're believing for. And that, my friends, is what I'm asking. Come on, we already seen a miracle. You guys, thank you so much. Your prayers. You have co-labored with me, come into agreement with me, and we've seen that. God has come through. But we're still praying. And then when we get on the other side, I am so excited about what God's going to do. And yes, Shirley's got me back on track. Thank you. That was the whole reason why I said this is because the mailing address. The first priority that when we get down there, we've got to get a new P.O. box for our ministry. And we're going to get all that set up and we'll keep you up to date. So, we want to let you guys know that our P.O. box right now, it's End Time Headlines P.O. Box 2312 Clarksville, Indiana. That's going to change. And we will we'll inform you of all that when that time comes. But it will be, I'd say, next week, probably on a Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, we're going to have a whole new P.O. box. And we'll inform you of all that stuff and keep you up to date with that. So, again, we love you guys. Thank you again so much for your prayers, your support, your agreement, and your faithfulness to our ministry. And that doesn't mean just your giving. I'm talking about your prayers, your letters, your emails, just the support in general covers the whole thing. So, I'm going to sign off for today. Today's Monday. We will not be back on here until Friday. So we'll be back here on Friday. We're going to do one more broadcast, and then we will be out. We will be off the air until, let's see, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We will probably be back on Wednesday. So we're going to come on Friday, and then we'll be gone for almost a whole week and be back up on either Wednesday or Friday of next week. All this is going to look different because we're going to be in a whole different place. It's going to be a transitional place, and I'll talk to you more about that as well. So until then, guys, God bless you. We love you. We'll see you on Friday.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.